Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams.
Today we are joined by Renato Vilches, Renato the Sun on Twitter, a Peruvian football journalist, part of Peru Waltz and a key part of football Twitter for the Peruvian world. Renato, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I could say doing great, like emotionally wise, but also like in terms of the Peruvian national team side of things. Best way I could put it is just very, very disappointed with how things are going, which will be shortly explained in this pod.
Yeah, exactly. And I was joking with Renato before World Cup qualifiers began that Venezuela would finish above Peru. So far, so good. I was saying it at least half in jest, but also probably with a bit of confidence. I didn't expect it to be as stark as it is. Venezuela have now only lost one game in over a year, 13 games, one defeat. Of course, only six of them were competitive. The rest were international friendlies warming up for this. But it's safe to say Venezuela are probably exceeding expectations so far. They sit fourth in World Cup qualifiers with a record of two wins, three draws, and that one defeat coming to Colombia in the opener. Peru, on the other hand, are rock bottom of qualifying with zero wins, two draws, and four defeats. At times last night, following the game, without watching it, I was busy and haven't had a chance to watch it back yet, but following the game on my phone, it seemed from the first half that perhaps that was going to change for Peru. Renato, you were watching. How did the game go?
So, as like from opposed to like the other matches directed by Juan Reynoso, Peru actually had like a pretty promising first half, like especially in terms of the offensive play, which was something the national team was been struggling for under Juan Reynoso in his tenure so far. Definitely, we saw finally Yael Guimardo, perhaps one of the youngest talents in the squad currently, and also like associating well with Yoshimar Yotun. You got two Sporting Cristal players. But also, like, you saw, like, a lot of, like, midfield work by Piero Quispe, who recently is now the Ligue 1 champion with Universitario. Also, I do think the defense, at least from the first half, was on point. Aldo Corso, even though I have criticized him a bunch in the past, I think now more and more I'm realizing how underrated of a player he is for the national team, as someone who is always there, regardless of his club level. Renato Tapia, who is now more playing as a central defender for the national team as opposed to a midfielder, which, given his defensive problems on midfield, I do think he now works better as a central defender. Even I thought Marcos Lopez was also doing well as left back. But I think something must have happened. And it just goes to show you Juan Reynoso's poor game management once when things go opposed for him, where Venezuela just wanted to exploit some weaknesses of Peru, especially with some of Marcos Lopez's like overlapping problems on the midfield. And also, like, by the time Juan Reynoso subbed out Quispe and Guimardo for Carrillo and then eventually came Paolo Guerrero and Edison Flores, both Edison Flores and Andre Carrillo are just clearly not added for the national team anymore, especially Andre Carrillo, who has lost his trademark speed, which has made him quite noticeable and vital during the Ricardo Gareca era. And now that without that speed and explosiveness, you just have like a washed up version of Andre Carrillo, if I can say in a nice way for him. But I will say that this Venezuela team, as you mentioned, it has been surprising a lot of people in this cycle so far. I'd say they're the revelation of this current cycle. They're in fourth position, but they also have an interesting coach with like Batista. They also have some interesting talents and also some talents that are established talents like Jefferson Soteldo. They have the experience of Rondon, and they also, I know they have like even if in like the names of defense, they might not sound like the most glamorous. The defense can do like get you the defensive work done. And also to have like one of the most informed midfielders in La Liga right now with Yangel Herrera. So there's a reason with how Venezuela is like a nation that has never qualified for the World Cup. And probably something you don't think of much when you think of CONMEBOL nations, that they're doing this so well. It's like, it seems like they're, even if the people don't think as Venezuela as like the top football nation, they're doing things well that Peru is just not doing well at the moment, especially with being for a coach that has regressed Peru. Reynoso, Batista is the coach that has brought a lot of good spark to Venezuela, and this might continue on as the year will happen.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear that, you know, a lot of Venezuelan fans and even Batista himself described this international break as bittersweet, because whilst Venezuela, you know, continued their unbeaten run with two draws, a 0-0 and a 1-1 with Peru, the Peru's goal being only the third that we've conceded in qualifying, meaning only Argentina have conceded fewer. We didn't win, and we were hoping to win at least one of those games, and perhaps going into that doubleheader, we could be forgiven for hoping for 6 points. Nevertheless, how other teams have done, Brazil, you know, now on a 3-game losing streak, for example, and before that, drawing with ourselves in Brazil, we have stayed fourth. We could have, if other results went our way last night and we won, we could have gone into the break as high as second. But regardless of actually how things played out, Venezuela have made a start that we could be proud of. On the flip side, Peru haven't. And there were lots of people saying before the game that was going to be Reynoso's last game in charge. Is that correct? Is that what you think is going to happen? And if so, where did Peru go next? Because there's no more World Cup qualifiers until next September. So like 10 months. But obviously, there's the Copa America in the summer.
Yeah, there's been a lot of reports that say, he's going to be leaving. But then also keep in mind that apparently there's also reports that for Reynoso to leave, a coach right now, by the way, through his press conference, that refuses to back down. The only way for the FFAFE, the Peruvian Football Federation, to get rid of Reynoso is to sack him. But that would also mean requiring to pay him the termination clause fee, which is reportedly set to be around $2 million, which is a ridiculous amount for a termination clause for a national team coach. But that you can blame Agustin Lozano for that. But at this point, I don't think Reynoso is going to stay. I think for his sake that it's best that he just leaves or just gets sacked for the best of the national team. It's just clear that he's not the coach that the national team needs. I respect him for what he has done for the Cutlobs. I know he's done some good, great things for La U, Melgar, and of course in Mexico at Cruz Azul. That I will not deny. And I'm someone who wants a Peruvian coach to succeed, but he's just not the right guy. I just feel like ever since he came in, Peru has regressed, then like progressing or like building up upon what Gareca has built. And I think the best for him is just to leave. But going to the point of what is to come, provided that Reynoso is no longer coach, I think first is like when it comes to finding the next coach is to find someone who can trust in the Peruvian talent, like not just like for like abroad, but also the Liga One talent, because that's something that Ricardo Gareca has done, and that was key for him to succeed with the Peruvian national team, like his trust, his motivation for the players, and just like overall finding like the style of play of what they need for. And also like, just like it would also become vital for the 2018 World Cup qualification and going to the 2019 Copa America final, which was something very joyful for a Peruvian to see. But it's going to be interesting going into 2024. Cause as you mentioned, the qualifiers do not resume until like September of next year, which is almost a complete year from now. It's gonna be a long time, and not just that, though, there's also the Copa America in the summer of next year. And not to mention that friendlies are perhaps gonna be played in March and also perhaps in June before Copa America begins. I believe that whoever comes in as the next coach should has to make great use of those referees, like to see what whoever comes in to see who their players are going to be, like to see what they have in their current disposal, but also to see what there is in the local like League One tournament. I do see players who can, like, you know, regardless of the coach, has a great future with the national team, like Piero Quispe, João Guimarães, Brian Reina. But then there are also some players that I just feel like are just not up there anymore with the national team, like André Carrillo, Carlos Zambrano, even to an extent, Paolo Guerrero. Like, he'll be 40 next year. Like, I will not deny that he's a legend for the national team and a legend, one of the best Peruvian players of all time. And he's recently won the Copa Sudamericana with Liga de Quito, but the fact that we're still calling up a 40-year-old Paolo Guerrero who still has some knee problems is quite worrying for me. And I do think, like, going forward, like, there needs to be like some change, not only in management but also in the players and also the way things are run.
So that was something I was going to ask you. I was actually going to ask, is it just a case of changing the head coach, or, you know, does the squad selection need to change too? And you've obviously touched upon it there, but we're a third of the way through World Cup qualifiers. It's 18 games in CONMEBOL qualifying. Six have been played. Just to quickly run through it for listeners, Argentina lead the table, the world current reigning World Cup champions, with 15 points, 5 wins and 1 loss. That loss coming last Thursday to Bielsa's Uruguay. Uruguay in second, just 2 points behind on 13 with a 4-1-1 record. Colombia third on 12 points, then Venezuela on 9, Ecuador on 8, mainly down to the 3-point deduction that they started the tournament with. Then surprisingly, Brazil in 6th with just 7 points after 3 straight defeats. And then further down the table, both on 5 points, Paraguay and Chile, Bolivia on 3 and Peru on 2. Renato, only a third of the way through, so still early doors. But is there a way back for Peru to still qualify? Is the playoff the only hope? How do you feel about World Cup hopes?
Well, it's interesting if you got to ask me regarding this topic, because in previous World Cup qualifiers in CONMEBOL, it was like 4 spots, 4 direct spots, and the 5th place goes to the playoffs. This time, though, it's 6 direct spots, and the 7th place goes to the playoffs. And if you look at the current table at the moment, like, the gap, like, if you look away from like the top 4, the gap from 5 to 10 wouldn't be as huge as one would think it is. I mean, as they say with qualifiers, it's like a marathon. You can start bad, but then you can just, like, you get motivated and you can try to, like, reach the finish line as much as you can. The same way you can start as strong, but then you can end up falling back in perhaps the worst manner ever. I think there is a chance, like, for, like, something to turn around, but as I said, like, it needs to be, like, careful whoever comes in as the next coach of Peru, provided Reynoso is no longer the coach, and also the preparation of from the before Copa America and after Copa America next year, because once Copa America is done, we're back to qualifiers. And it is a point where I feel like that's gonna, like, the best thing in this situation, that Copa America is gonna be like the tournament where you want to try out, like, new things in a competitive environment. We can see how players like Piero Quispe, João Guimarães react in a tournament style environment. And who knows, like, I could see some players who have futures with the national team that have been catching eyes in Liga 1, like Fabricio Roca, Sport Boys, Nelson Caballinas of Universitario. There's, like, I do think there's a lot of things to offer.
Yeah, and that Copa America is also going to be not just a chance for maybe Peru to refresh, reset, but also face different opposition. It's not just the 10 CONMEBOL teams taking part this time. We've also got CONCACAF teams taking part. We've got Jamaica, Mexico, Panama, and the US, and 2 more currently unknown teams. It's something that we've spoken about, maybe joked about, in all honesty. But you brought it up before in a group chat that you and I are both in, about CONCACAF and CONMEBOL, should they merge? Who needs the other more than the other? How do you feel about the obviously it's probably not something that's being really considered, but how do you feel about the possibility or the potential for CONMEBOL and CONCACAF to be merged? Because how I've seen South American football, particularly in the past 4 years, looking at it from a Venezuelan perspective, is it's very hard to develop your football ideas as a head coach or as a national team through a cycle when you're playing the same nine teams over and over again. Like, this isn't UEFA where you've got like 60 odd teams. Like, you've got nine opposition, two of which are the best, like amongst the top five teams in the world, pretty much always. It's hard. So fresh competition is welcome, in my opinion. But actually merging confederations is this a serious idea?
Well, look, listen, it's a topic that has been there for years, and given that these federations are in literally really close to each other in this side of the world, North America and South America, I personally think that it's more of just an idea that could be passed around. I don't know if it'll ever get to the point where we'll see CONCACAF and CONMEBOL merge, but I'll say this, that events like Copa America 2024 happening in the United States is one way you can have CONMEBOL and CONCACAF being together while having to actually be together. I do agree, though, that I feel like for teams like Peru, Venezuela, Chile, Paraguay, and Ecuador, that they should like try to like challenge themselves more outside of their confederation, because if you are going to the World Cup qualifiers, you at least want to understand like how is like playing the World Cup like. Maybe understand how players from different nations outside of your confederation are like, and testing yourselves in that environment. It's one thing I will say that actually happened very not long ago. Peru was playing against teams in Morocco and Germany, albeit not with the best results, especially with Reynoso at the helm. But I do, I really did appreciate that the FFAFA was able to get points like that for Peru, especially against Germany out of all teams, which is really something. But I say it again that the Copa America 2024 is just one way you can have CONMEBOL and CONCACAF together without having to be together. Do I see the day of them merging completely where we're probably going to have Brazil facing, let's just say, Panama or Honduras in as a way to qualify? I personally don't see that, nor would want that. But with how things are going, I don't know what the future brings in that aspect.
Yeah, and I think the value in it is someone put it to me, I can't remember who, but someone put it to me, and it slapped me in the face, even though it was perfectly obvious. You know, teams from outside of South America, or mainly teams from Europe, if they're going to come to South America for a friendly, it's to play Brazil or Argentina, right? Like, the other countries don't really get a look in, not even, you know, Uruguay and Colombia. But then on the flip side, it can be non-footballing reasons that also hold back, you know, who South American countries can play outside of South America. Because I alluded to it at the start of the podcast, you know, Venezuela have lost one game in 13. That one game was a 1-0 loss to Colombia. Otherwise, unbeaten in 14 months. But to be honest and to be hopefully insightful, we go through those results just by name, no analysis, but a 4-0 win against the United Arab Emirates, a 2-2 draw with Panama, and, you know, there's five or six Panamanian national teams playing in Venezuela's domestic league, a 2-1 win against Syria, a 2-1 win against Saudi Arabia, a 1-1 draw with Uzbekistan, a 1-0 win against Honduras, and a 1-0 win against Guatemala. Obviously, it was fantastic to build momentum going into the World Cup qualifiers and going on that like 7-game unbeaten streak. And before that unbeaten streak began, it was a 1-0 loss to Iceland in Europe, but two wins prior to that as well, Saudi Arabia another time, and Malta. But with all due respect, whilst it did build momentum and, you know, an unbeaten fortress mentality, they're not big names. You know, it's not testing. I think we should be aiming in our friendlies, and perhaps you agree with Peru, to be playing teams that of that average level, if it's, you know, possible to deduct such a thing, the average level of CONMEBOL. So, you know, we use the table right now, it could be a little bit misleading because you've got Brazil smack bang middle at six, but Venezuela and Peru should be facing national teams from other confederations that are roughly the level of, say, Ecuador or Paraguay, not, in my opinion, Uzbekistan and the UAE. That is the kind of thing that's going to, in my opinion, improve the quality of the national teams in South America, like your Venezuelas, Perus, Paraguays, and arguably Chile now, who are, you know, at the end of a cycle and desperately need a new cycle to come in.
Yes, and that's also something I've been noticing quite a lot in these qualifying cycles, that it's kind of been a mixed form with how, like, the nations have been. Like, of course, you have Argentina, who are still going strong with Lionel Scaloni, but they also got recently beaten after such a long time by Uruguay, who are under Marcel Bezzella, who has been giving Uruguay quite, like, a lot of spark in this current qualifying cycle. But then you also have a Brazil under Fernando Diniz, who have been just a shell of their former selves. And the fact that they lost two times in this current FIFA date as of this recording is quite noticeable. But once you look in the below, then you have teams like Paraguay, who recently sacked Chuleta. Also, Chile, they just sacked Briso, and, well, more like Briso resigned, but, you know, at this point. But also, even Peru at this point, they're borderline about the sack on Reynoso. Just makes you wonder how those nations are going to be dealing with going next to the qualifiers, because it's not just Peru that's been affected. Also, Chile, Paraguay, and how stuff like this can affect the qualifiers going forward, because for those nations, it could either be make or break. So it's what I mentioned before, that it's like a marathon. You can start strong or fall out bad, or you can be the other way around. But in regards to facing nations for their level, and as you said, I think it's for the best, but I also think those nations have to be quite think smarter when it comes to to facing whoever they're facing. I don't think it would be good for Peru to face someone the lowest nation of CONCACAF or the AFC. I do think they have to find someone that's close to their level, because they shouldn't try to overestimate themselves, but at least not try to lower their level at the same time, because if you want to recuperate what's happening right now, at least try to see in a mirror what's going on and what to fix.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, so Renato, we've looked back at the recent games. Before we wrap up, let's look forward. Obviously, it's a long way forward, considering, like you said, practically a year before this picks up. Copa America, the group draw, this group stage draw hasn't even been made, so we don't know who we're going to be facing. But if we look to, say, Peru's next World Cup qualifying fixtures, it's Colombia in Peru and Ecuador in Ecuador. They're the September 2024 fixtures. They're games that are, you know, on paper winnable. Obviously, Colombia have started very well, but you're at home. Away against Ecuador, it's a game you need to win to close the gap on the pack. What do you expect from those 6 points on offer versus what do you think is achievable?
Well, I mean, as I said already, it just really depends on how, the state of the national team is going to be going into September 2024, which is a long time as of this recording. I will say that I do have the confidence that whoever, regardless, that Peru can have a chance to beat Colombia at home. But Ecuador is going to be a tough one, especially Peru's record in Quito not being the most notable. But I'll say this, that their recent record in Quito has been quite noticeable. Of course, in the 2018 cycle, where Peru beat Ecuador in Quito, which was very vital for Peru to reach the 2018 World Cup, and also and the last cycle, the 2022 cycle, where Peru did like surprise Ecuador Quito again, especially with a goal from Gianluca Lapadula. As I said, I just think it's going to depend on how like national team is, who the next coach is, and by that point you would have to have an idea of how the national team is going to be playing and how the player selection will be and how the tactics of that coach will be.
Yeah,
but I do think there could be a chance that 6 points could be achievable, but once again, that has to be done carefully and evaluated at the FFAFE.
Yeah, and similarly or likewise, Venezuela's next World Cup qualifying games are Bolivia in Bolivia, followed by Uruguay in Venezuela. I think if obviously a year is a long way away, we have no idea how momentum will look at the moment. We have momentum. Copa America could change that entirely. Everyone always talks about difficult to win in Bolivia, but I think that's an away game that we have to be trying to win if we're going to qualify for the World Cup. And then at home to Uruguay, obviously Uruguay being a top team, but staying unbeaten at home, which so far we are, the priority. Wherever the points come from, I think a target of four points from six will see a lot of people very happy. Renato, thank you very much for joining the Footbait English podcast today. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully everyone at home has enjoyed listening. Renato, thank you.
No problem, Jordan. I was able to be happy to be here.
No, I know you were looking forward to it. I hope you got what you needed to get off your chest. Until next time, goodbye.